Okay,
you're about to listen to Gunwash, and sometimes the language and themes on this show are questionable, so be aware of that.
Just say, yeah, Gunwash News Time. Sorry, I'm looking at Rectech over here, he's pointing at me, but we're live on the air. Yeah. Well, it is Gunwash News Time, 9 p.m. here in Bushwick, New York, and of course we are at Roberta's Pizza. Getting ready for Thursday night as we explore the world of not only Rachel von Liebskin, of course, very, very honored to have her, but it has been a very long time since we had Rectech in studio, and he will be playing in Spliffington's absence, and excited we are for that, so that's coming up. Stay tuned. Gunwash is now. Go ahead.
I'm not the supreme expert on cleaning guns, but I do know a little bit, and I'm just going to share my little tips and ideas with you.
Long time. Hey, yes. Rachel, what's up? What are you doing?
Oh, well,
just taking some selfies.
I got nervous for a
selfies second. In studio already.
I got jealous because I'm camera shy, and Aaron was not into like taking the picture and like not being in it. And Odetta laughing, and I like to smile too. What's up? Can you take a picture of me? I'm really camera shy.
Should we do one?
That's
together?
What it says on the Heritage new website, heritagedistrictnetwork.org.
Right, you're in it. You're in frame.
No, I'm not.
You're back there. All right, we're all here. Hey,
welcome.
Everybody.
Yeah.
Welcome to Gunwash, everybody. It's 9 p.m.
Thank you. By the way, I wanted to, like, Armando, I wanted to let you, you know, start out the segment because my voice is a little, hoarse.
I'm in this new seat. I usually sit where Rachel sits or where
yes.
Mega sits.
Yes. But, a little bit of a different setup tonight. I wanted, of course, Odetta to separate me from this guest. I feel I need to be separated.
Quarantined.
I saw Aaron's head was about to explode as soon as Rachel walked in.
Why? Are you dangerous?
He's lethal.
In a way.
He's okay. Beyond dangerous.
Well, listen, for those of you tuning in, of course, for the first time, this is Gunwash. We're here every Thursday night at 9 p.m. on the HeritageRadioNetwork.org. If you don't know, we've launched a new website.
New!
Brand new, and you can even find our bios there. My bio and Armando's bio.
I know, I love my bio. It's so funny.
The ill thing, too, is we have a chat room right now on the live stream, too. So,
okay.
So Kelly, instead of texting me, just, like, put it all in the chat
absolutely.
Room.
Absolutely.
And then I can ignore it, and I don't have to, like, my phone doesn't have to ring.
Absolutely. So, and,
Jack, quick question. So no one can go to gunwash.com anymore?
No, gunwash.com will redirect you to Heritage Radio now.
Tonight.
Oh, wow. Excellent.
Yeah, and then, right by the now, way, that was done without my...
I made the executive
absolutely.
Call.
Absolutely. And you're the executive. Just allow that to happen for SEO in the interest of SEO here on gunwash.com. Absolutely. Well, we do have Rachel von Liebskin in studio tonight. Please say hello and pronounce your name right if I pronounce
Here's
it wrong.
The thing. Here's the irony about
tell
that.
Tell me everything.
I'm actually not von. Von is German. Signifier for being aristocracy.
Oh, okay. But you seem very, very royal to me.
I am 100% purebred shtetl.
Okay. Where's your schmata?
Well, you know, I gotta like some shit on.
Well, listen, I heard, of course, that you're very, very worldly, and of course I admire that greatly. Want to know much about your art and other things that you're working on. So I would do the Gary Walker voice.
I'm into it.
What are you working on?
By the way, we do have Rectech, the Rectech technician. He is in studio. And, of course, we have the one, Mega, who hasn't been in studio for quite some time. I think episode 100 was the last time he was here.
Mega.
And
Mega,
very, very happy.
Mega,
to
Mega.
It was very awkward. And but now we're in a place that's not so awkward. So I want to play some Rectech music. He has a brand new demo. He's going to play it right now. And we will go to that. And when we come back, we will talk more to Rachel and the other guests we have in studio.
He doesn't even have laces on his shoes.
Yeah. No, they're
Velcro.
They slip on.
He has Velcro shoes.
And Rectech, will you please pull up music?
Well,
Gunwash.
This is Dame Dash. I'm still my man, Amundo. Big shout out to Gunwash. I'm in the mood board.
Stuart Swerdlow
and Janet Diane Moya Swerdlow,
and you're listening to Gunwash.
Good, this is Marco NT, Mr. AOK, and I'm chilling on gunwashradio.internet.
Listening to Gunwash Radio.
Gunwash Radio. It starts at whatever time you want it to.
Living in Crown Heights. I was listening to Gunwash on my computer.
Yeah, absolutely.
Oh, excellent.
That is excellent. Wow. I did see Max Bode the other night, by the way. I want to say shouts to Max Bode, the one ace, Little Skittles.
That's not him. Don't try to expose him.
You know what's crazy? I'm seeing Rectech is playing something from Super Duper Fly.
Yeah, he's not following the outline.
Tough guy.
It's okay. I was yelling. I was like 30 seconds. It's okay.
Yeah, shut it off, buddy.
No, it's okay. We can do whatever you want.
No, he can't.
Well, but Jack, you have the board. I mean, you're the master.
I can't stop the bleed from those other speakers. I still hear that shit.
I got you.
Yeah. Somebody stop him.
Kick him in the leg.
Oh, that was Rectech, the Rec Technician. Thank you, of course, for joining us on Gunwash tonight here at Roberta's. By the way, for those who are new listeners, you can call in live here, 718-497-2128. We are happy to hear what you have to say and would like to hear.
I told a coworker to call in earlier, and he was like, I got to get one of those microphones.
You know, oftentimes when people call in, they get nervous, and I want to tell
that's
my audience.
That's why I think it was. He was nervous.
Can I tell a funny
Absolutely
story really quick about microphones?
Yes, yes.
So we're going to record this event for Heritage Radio, right? And I'm talking to the AV person at a culinary school that I won't name. And she goes, yeah, we've got four mics. And I say, oh, great. So if I'm going to record the panel, I'll just plug into the soundboard. And she goes, we don't have a soundboard. I said, well, you must have speakers. And she says, no, no, no. We just have mics.
Oh, then you must be
and I
God.
Said, no, I said, well, you need speakers if people can hear you. And she goes, no, I don't think you understand. I have a microphone. You speak into it, and it sound comes out the other end.
It's beautiful.
What was it, like, a megaphone?
Like, yeah, exactly. She confused with
I think you're confused. I think you're kind of confused.
Well, listeners, we did, by the way, Rachel and Mega and Nat, my guests who I don't see very often, I want to let you know that we did have an extraordinary event this past Monday, and Rectech was actually there. I don't even need to tell him. He was there to experience it.
He played a few songs that I truly enjoyed.
Absolutely. And we were celebrating the launch of the Heritage Radio Network site. It's very, very good for us. Lots of new things. And
celebration indeed.
Absolutely. And this is our first episode. Well, I guess second episode on the new site. And we are celebrating that by having many, many guests. In fact, the house is sort of full around me. And I am almost overtaken with joy, as you can tell from my voice.
Do you Rachel, feel like you're in an award show?
Yeah, absolutely. We're here with Rachel Liebskin, who's not a Von Liebskin.
No,
she said
who
that.
I am. It's
yeah.
Okay.
Well, you also you use I don't know your name on the internet is Von Spahn.
Yeah, it's a kind of an inside joke with me and all of German citizens.
Okay, Rachel. Yes, that's true. You were born abroad. You were born in Berlin, but you were a New York artist.
I was born in Milan.
Excuse me.
A very chic city to be born.
By
great
the way,
place. Great place.
I always
gets a bad rap.
Why?
Because it doesn't have the Colosseum, and it's like, I don't know, it's devoid of tourists. So, like, for Italian cities, people are like, what the fuck? There's no Colosseum.
And the World Fair was there, though, this year.
Yes, it was tight. I went. The
theme my shit was in there.
Yeah, I met that guy at Thanksgiving.
Pew, pew.
But,
It wasn't my shit, it was a song.
I was literally born abroad.
Yeah, and then, but, so, okay.
So
born in Milan,
it's a good joke.
And
I,
moving
once again,
forward,
Nat, the copywriter. I've been telling this for months. This kid's a copywriter.
Well, I got a position for you, my friend. And raised
in Berlin.
Yes, and now a New York artist. And of course, to say that you are an artist, that means that you must be realized in your work and recognized publicly as...
She's capital A, I would say.
Yeah, I'd say that's true.
Whoa.
I mean, like, listen, there's lots of visual artists in this room, but maybe we're not described as visual artists in widely read publications.
Okay, thank
so,
you.
And wow. That is very, very... Yes, absolutely. You should feel very good about this.
Aaron tried to diss me on the low. he sounded like a politician.
I'm dissing myself. So, now... I was told to hold off on the Jewish stuff until the end.
That's fine.
Okay.
Whatever you want. Right. I'm ready for it.
So your father was an architect. That's pretty cool. That means you've got to be smart.
That's a generous statement. But yeah, it's pretty good.
And tell me a little bit, Rachel, about this art that you do.
Wow. It's a wide question.
Yes. Start narrow and then expand. It's sort of like playing Madden 98 or 2000 when you are like, if you're Peyton Manning, you have a wide view. But if you're some like new quarterback, you have a small view.
Yeah, I lost on me.
Awesome.
I hate sports, but it's all right. I won't fault you for it. Where to begin?
Oh, just begin.
Well, I love to make things. I love to make things that you can buy. I love to make things that disappear. I love to make videos. I love to make spaces. I love to make performances. Multidisciplinary.
But how, and I have to ask, and this is a selfish, this is me asking from a selfish place, how do you do the multidisciplinary thing and still sell things? Because I have not discovered how to do that yet.
Good question. Demand, bitch
question.
Better have my money.
Yes.
That's what it's about.
Okay.
It's about forcing people to fucking pay you for your
okay.
work.
But you know, I have to say, Rachel, not every one of us, those of us who are creative, not all of us were raised in a family that empowered you to ask people for money for your
True.
Ideas. I mean, we sit here and
True.
Say, listen, my ideas are so big that they're worth such and such amount of dollars. not all of us were raised in those kind of
environments.
You may
be
lucky.
I'll tell you this. People often ask me why I didn't become an architect. And you know what I tell them?
Why didn't you become an architect?
Because I watched my fucking my lovely parents. My mom, my parents have been married 46 years. My mom runs my dad's business. She's a head HBIC. And I've watched my mother spend her entire career hunting people down to pay them.
Yeah.
I mean, architects, like, they're waiting on, like, a $900,000 check.
Yeah.
People will be like, oh, yeah, you know, 3 months, 3 months, next quarter. It's like, what?
But, you know, speaking of big paychecks, you know, we, it's, again, I feel as though maybe you were conditioned to ask for that type of money. As earlier, before we even went on the air, we were talking about voiceover work, something that you even did when you were younger.
Yes.
And as we all know, voiceover artists, especially those who are established, often can charge up to $5,000 to $10,000 an hour, something like that. And I think people, like, get residuals for that, as you said, throughout their lives.
They do. I was the voice of Marvelous Millie, a very successful BBC show.
Oh, okay. Who's Marvelous Millie? Yeah. You seem marvelous, Millie.
By the way, I also sang the theme song that I did for free in my contract.
So they were.
Yeah, please.
Do we have? You really want to hear it?
Well, yeah. Do we need music or what do we?
No, I'm just going to sing you the tune.
All right,
okay?
Beautiful. Here we go.
It goes. Marvelous Millie and her magic cat. Her magic cat. Imagine that. Dun, 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 dun. I don't remember the rest of it, but you get the picture.
So
she's fire.
They come to.
For free.
Your
for
parents, free. They say, "Listen, we got a lot of work. There's gonna
actually
be a lot of work throughout the year. We're gonna do the song. We're not gonna pay for the song." But
the song was a freebie.
Okay.
Here's the thing. I spoke English at home. I went to an American public school in Berlin in the old former.
How does that work?
Because you know, Berlin after 1945 was divided. There was the East Berlin, which was by the Russians, owned and fucking, raped by the Russians. And then there was the American
sector. Oh,
it sounds
like sector. You got some Russian anger.
Well, East Berlin was a fucked up place.
You're very light-skinned, I must say.
Thanks. Is that a compliment?
I don't see a Russian in you.
No, I'm Polish, actually. Full through and through, Polish.
You know, I'm Belarusian.
It's the same shit.
Oh, okay.
Same
fair
shit.
Enough.
Yeah, same
fair
shit.
Enough. White Russia.
Yeah, basically.
Yeah. Milk Russia.
Yeah, milk Russian.
Milk.
Milk.
Yeah, your skin looks like milk.
Yeah, well, I got Irish in my family, too.
Your hair looks
I'm
like it's on fire.
I'm all fucked up, man. I'm like Beaker from the Muppets. Man, yeah.
It's like your milk.
Absolutely, absolutely, absolutely.
Milk and cinnamon. That tastes really good.
It's like
good.
Milk and sriracha.
Yo, you know what it's like? It's like sriracha mixed with lightning.
Yeah, kind of.
Yeah.
A little bit.
So anyway, we were talking.
So yeah, there was so Berlin was divided into these sectors: American, French, British, Russian, and those people lived there in those sectors. So like the American sector obviously had an American public school, which was funded by Germany, but had this like special program where American teachers could come in, and it was really weird. Like the whole part of the city was razed in World War II, so it was all rebuilt by the American army, and it looked. I mean, it was like the ugliest fucking part of the city.
So
it looked hideous. It was like a suburb in the middle of Berlin.
Okay.
Anyways, that's where my school was. So I went to this American school. I spoke American English.
Which is what?
Which is like what you hear me saying now.
Did you say yo, yo,
Well,
yo?
Nah. I feel like yo, yo, yo is more like...
But that's kind of like American.
Kind of.
Yeah,
I mean, the German
right.
kids in my school were always like, oh, what is up? Like, how are you living? How are you living?
Du das.
Yeah,
what
exactly.
is up?
Like, oh, do you like fetty rap?
Yeah.
Like, oh,
yeah, man. Yeah.
Tupac lives.
Zigaretten?
That's what the matches said last week's episode. Oomph. Tupac lives.
Yeah, see, it's a conspiracy.
She's already my favorite guest.
Anyways, so I spoke this perfect American English, and I was scouted. I was scouted at my fifth grade musical, and I was the star of the musical. And I was scouted by this, like, fucking voiceover company that did the voiceovers for the BBC.
You know, these international kids, they got scouts at their fifth grade musicals.
Yeah, what's
up? I'm from Randolph,
up?
New Jersey. We don't like that, you know, we don't really...
Oh, you didn't have any scouts.
No, we didn't
just
get scouts.
Just the Boy Scouts.
Yes, you took
just
my joke.
The Boy
Rachel,
Scouts.
You just took my
I'm
joke.
I'm also what telepathic.
So. We had the Tiger Scouts. Well, you know, Rachel.
What up?
Of course, I've been fed a lot of... notes about you.
Rough.
But I'm skimming them. Because I mean, really, what
it's
am
fine.
I going to... Yeah,
yeah,
yeah. Okay,
what are you going to do? Yeah.
And there's a lot here about memory and baggage.
It's my favorite topic.
Oh my God, I am so fucked up. I'm going to kill myself tonight.
Why?
I don't know. I really feel as though I need to.
Say that shit.
No, sometimes
watch her call 911.
No, listen. You should allow people. You should allow people to feel like they want to die if they want to die.
Yeah, fine, sure,
absolutely,
sure, okay.
So
you have the right to feel like shit,
and I want
that is a God-given right. That's one of the easiest rights to have. Actually, feeling shitty is free. And, you know, no one's ever going to help you from that.
But, yeah. Rachel, there's a difference between feeling shitty and then actual and then actually like doing something about it.
Fucked up to your life.
No, but
right,
but
right,
I, but no,
right,
no, no.
All right.
Jack doesn't like this topic.
He should.
No, I don't.
All right. Well, we do want to talk, of course, about baggage and history and, of course, the strange things that happen in our lives and how we express them in art. Later on down the road here with Rachel Liebskin on Gunwash. We do have Nat Rektek live in studio, and Mega
he's got
is
some
visiting.
Baggage.
Yeah, he's got a bunch
you
of
have baggage.
Baggage?
Oh,
he's got,
you know what's so crazy?
Who doesn't have
baggage? My baggage is the best baggage, though. I love my baggage.
I got a whole cart.
You know, listen, you should sit with your baggage every day and appreciate it.
When I go to the airport, I show off my baggage.
Yeah, me too. It's matched luggage.
Louis Vuitton.
It's matched.
You spend a lot of money on your baggage?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, you like to have that high-end baggage.
Aaron's well-traveled.
I'm well-traveled in the world of sadness.
Oh.
No, I'm it's not. No.
He wrote a boat.
That's the name of
And also, you are a published author as of recently, and I would like to talk to you about that because I'm trying to publish something.
Really? What?
It's called, maybe we'll talk about it in the second segment. Let's go to Rektek for just a few minutes here on
really?
Gunwash.
This song is called Mike Tyson Aftershave.
Yeah, well, I can read a chapter, actually, if we want to leak it, but that's... Later in the show, Gunwash, Rektek is live. Call-ins are 718-497-2128. We are on gunwash.com, and we're on the heritageradionetwork.org. Come on back, people.
To Rose / Berg.
And where's the weed?
Hi, my name's Sophie, and you're listening to Gunwash. Hi, I'm Christine Crivichet, and I am listening to Gunwatch.
This is Contessa Studo, and I'm lonely, and I need a man, but at the end of the day, I want the Gunwash Radio, so you're listening to Gunwash Radio.
This is Kicks the Motherfucking Killer with Gunwash Radio, and we're out here carrying.
Hi, this is Carly from Slutever, and you're listening to Gunwash.
I'm That's it.
So nostalgic.
Yeah, I know. We got Rektek playing.
We made this track like a million years ago.
What is going on? This is full service, or this was us
remixing Tennille.
Oh wow!
In 2000 fucking nine or something.
2000 fucking.
Now she's got a beautiful baby.
That's true. We saw Tom Cruise playing music. The father of the baby was right here.
Yeah.
The other night.
Tom Cruise. He played like hyper soca reggaeton at the end of the night.
Loved it.
Excellent.
Loved it. Well, thank you, everyone, of course, for tuning in to Gunwash. We are here with all our pals.
Who played that bachata song?
That was Tom Cruise.
Chaka, of course.
Chaka, of course.
Not mad at
him. He's very, very cultured. Well, thank you, Rektek. Thank you, Rektek, for playing that music for us.
You're welcome, Aaron.
Some of that stuff was even...
anything for you.
Thank you.
It was all original Rektek, too,
original
like everything
Rektek.
You heard.
And Knife Show.
We're not paying any rights tonight.
Yeah.
No.
Well,
No, sir.
No, ma'am.
No ass cap.
Ma'am.
No, mayam.
Unless,
no ass cap.
Unless
ma'am.
Someone asked about the song playing now.
Yeah.
Which is also a Knife Show, coincidentally.
Jeepers. Well, listen, guys. We are here on Gunwash, and I am here with Rachel Lieb Skin and some other friends who haven't been here in a while. I want to read off some talking points so that I may allow Rachel. I'm having problems. Sorry.
Talk on the points.
Talk on the points. Just point out the talking.
Yeah, I know, right? Usually you don't say you're reading off talking points. Usually.
It's all right. We can come up with some invented ones.
No. So, okay, listen. Rachel, I know that this year so far has been big for you. Not only this past summer did you show in an installation, not only art, but a performance piece as... Oh, nice. My boy. Oh, okay. Nice. Part of the Chelsea Hotel Festival. You've been traveling all summer on a one-way ticket through Europe, I'm assuming doing art and other creative things. You did a nativity scene.
Last week.
At Radiator Gallery. Now, what does that involve exactly? I mean, I know what a nativity scene is.
Exactly what it sounds like.
Yeah, but why? I mean, in a sense, you're
doing
the
religious thing. I love Catholicism.
Why? Because you're Jewish?
I'm a Jew.
Why are you so mad at
Jesus
Christ?
Because I'm not mad. I love him. I'm jealous that I wasn't, like, born into, like, some hard fucking... Irish Catholic family.
Why?
Because
you can just be Catholic.
Because to
it's
me,
free.
It's I, well, it's I can't. I can't. I got Holocaust in my past, man. I can't turn my back on the Jews. I'm sorry. That's real. It's a real thing. That, you know, I just can't pretend.
That's
in my blood. You know, I can't turn my back. But I'll say this: Judaism is an old, thousands and ancient. You know, 5,776.
Hey, Rachel.
Yeah.
What up?
Sorry to interrupt you.
Interrupt
sorry
me.
To interrupt.
But What if you had like amnesia and you forgot you were Jewish, right?
Yeah,
and then you hold on,
really...
and then you don't have, and then you're like in the middle of nowhere. Catholic. And no, not even this. You don't even find out anything. You're just like living now from the present.
Yeah, I mean, listen. You can. Can I be honest with you? I gotta tell you. This is one thing I really. I feel this, but I believe this. I like it. I feel this really.
Okay,
I believe this.
Let's hear it.
You can still be into Jesus and honor your ancestors who were in the Holocaust.
Yeah, I mean, I'm into Jesus. Look, let me just say, I didn't get to explain my deep love for Catholicism. Christianity, Judaism is a religion of the text. It's a religion of literacy. It's a religion of teaching. It's a religion that is a. That's why synagogue. You can have a fucking service anywhere. We can have a service right here. Yeah, we don't need us. We don't need temples. We got rid of that shit. We don't have priests. We got rid of that shit. It's great. It works. Okay. It's because it's a nomadic religion, right? We like kept getting kicked out over and over again. So we're like, okay, we're going to do away with temples. We're going to do away with priests. We're just going to have this text. And anybody who's learnt enough can teach everyone else.
Yeah, but none of us walked through the desert for 40 years. I feel like we just like what we like.
Yeah, we like what we like. Here's the thing. Catholicism is a religion that they had to fucking sell. It's a marketing scheme. It's a ploy. And so they had all these people who were pagans, who couldn't read for shit. And they had to find a way to like transmute all of these ideas they had about sacrifice, about, you know, holiness, about what the Holy Spirit is versus the holy flesh. I mean, they had these fucking super complicated ideas, actually.
So Christians sold ideas, and we sold schmatas.
Exactly.
And
Christians sold ideas. Look, when you look at the cross, okay, you don't even need Jesus on the cross. All you need to see is the cross. You know already what that represents. It's the
swoosh. Caller on line 12.
It's the swoosh. It's the swoosh. Exactly.
I'm a caller on line 12.
What's your name and where are you calling from? Tell us your favorite deity that
What's
has more than eight arms.
Shalom.
Yo, what up?
Shalom.
Shana Tova.
Shana Tova to you, brethren. And to everyone in the world.
This is a friend of the show. Aaron.
Yes, ma'am. Hello. Hi.
Did you send me flowers today?
Yeah, for your birthday. Yes, absolutely. Yes, I did.
Thank you.
What a relevant phone call to the conversation.
You know what's funny? Kelly can't shut the fuck up about Jews, but right now we're talking about
Jews. I know,
Jews.
We finally do a show that Kelly would be interested in. I know.
You're welcome for the flowers. Hey, what do you think about Jesus?
Yeah, what do you think about Jesus?
He's a nice guy.
Yeah, absolutely. And,
I'm gonna leave before I get to bed.
Okay.
I'm gonna gun the caller. I'm a Jew who loves Catholicism. Like, I went to Rome. Like, I went to the Vatican.
Yeah, we're high-fiving.
Like, it's... That was a terrible high-five. But, like, I totally get it. It's like, because on the one hand, they are remarkable pedophiles.
Absolutely.
But on the other hand,
I mean, like, unprecedented.
The tombs, the fingers, the desiccated
catacombs,
heads and limbs,
yeah,
the catacombs,
yeah, all that shit.
But then all of the gilded, like the church with the. I don't know if you're a Terry Gilliam fan, but you know he based that character. In Brazil with like the skeleton with the wings on that statue in Rome.
Outside
like,
of the Vatican.
Exactly.
Yep, yep,
all
yep.
that shit is like so,
it is
so dope.
Well, here's the thing.
Judaism
Catholicism
doesn't have
invented
cool shit.
Catholics invented Christianity, because let's be honest, Catholics were the first Christians. They invented the comic book. I mean, they were like, yo, none of these people know how to read, but like, we've got a fucking great set of stories to sell them.
Horror comic.
We're going to hire some great art. Also, the best art came from the Catholics. Let's be real. I got to be honest. I mean, the best work.
All great medieval art, all the gilded,
that
like,
work is,
like,
that's the
two-dimensional shit. All of that is so dope.
And,
I
you know,
it.
To your point, I did my thesis in university and college on the circumcision of Christ.
Yeah.
Which is a deeply fascinating topic. We'll get to another time when we have, you know. When we're not.
How about right
air.
Now?
Yeah, we got time. I mean, listen,
we got all the time.
All right. Let me tell you a little bit about the circumcision of Christ. So Christ was circumcised, as all Jewish boys are, on the eighth day of his life. What is 8 days after Christmas Eve?
I don't know.
New Year's Eve.
New Year's.
New Year's Day. Why do we celebrate New Year's Day when we do? It's because it was the day Christ entered into a covenant with his Judeo-Christian forefathers, like Isaac and Abraham. And Jacob, etc., etc.
And so, lost the dick cheese.
Yeah, you want to get, you want to cut cheese, that off too.
But here's the thing, that's crazy. We all Catholics used to celebrate January 1st. Used to be like this ubiquitous holiday. It was called Feast of the Circumcision.
Oh my God.
If you go to Greece or Russia, Greek Orthodox and Russian Orthodox, they still celebrate that shit. And they have processions on the 1st of January where they worship Christ's foreskin.
They be cutting a lot of penises off that day.
It's a deep shit. And the thing is that St. Paul decided, he said Christ was the first and last Christian to be circumcised, and that what would replace circumcision but baptism.
But wait, so...
I was baptized
Catholic. You were baptized? Yeah,
oh, you're Catholic.
I grew up Roman Catholic.
So who doesn't get circumcised?
You know all about that shit. You know all about it.
I'm not circumcised.
Really?
No.
Okay.
I'll do it.
Judge you on that.
I didn't even go to church my
Rec-Tech
whole life.
Rec-Tech is a mobile DJ and a moil.
He's a moil. Rec-Tech just got his moil license.
Yeah.
He paid $500 to some Hasids.
You need steady hands for both.
Absolutely.
You need a steady...
What about the Hasids? Can we talk about that?
That's so dark.
It's very dark.
You said a steady mouth.
It's
yeah, you know that part of it is... Hasid. He has to kiss the dick.
And so you're a parent.
They suck the blood out of
your mouth, right? Okay, Rachel, you just said kiss the dick, right?
Yeah, whatever.
How many...
Kiss the dick.
Okay, how many uncircumcised penises have you ever seen then?
Yeah, really, because that's
such a deeply personal question.
This is all
I gotta look
no one listens
my past.
To the show.
That's fine.
Mondo.
Maybe, like, honestly, though, I gotta be real. The first uncircumcised penis I ever saw, I found terrifying.
Well, I think a lot of people do it.
I was
now.
Like, is that an anteater?
I have an idea. There's three girls in the room.
What the fuck is that?
There's three girls in the room.
Okay. We should
Everyone, put your hand up. How many uncircumcised penises have you seen?
Seen.
Well, no, not just seen, like, on TV, like really.
In the flesh.
Three, five.
We've got a four and a three
back here.
We've got,
like, mad penises out there, like, that are not circumcised, man.
Okay, one.
You want to do it for health reasons. You want to circumcise, absolutely.
Five. So we got five in the broadcaster, in the talent room, we got five.
Yeah, there's a dearth of uncircumcised.
What about in the production room? Five
they
plus.
They
got seven out there.
You want to clip that thing if you want to be healthy in the future.
My mom was like, I don't know. She was just like,
Was you born in the States?
Nah, she was born in Dominican Republic.
Okay, so there you
go.
Yeah, my dad got his clipped off at 16.
Crazy.
That's,
but a lot of times
that's
it can get
a covenant
infected.
With God.
A good friend of mine was like 18 or 19.
Yeah. Fucked up.
So what do?
You go to the doctor and you have surgery on your penis.
Yeah.
And then you take a bunch of painkillers and you cry.
I actually read something in the news about, like, there's a lot of kids in Crown Heights that have, like, herpes or syphilis
because the moils are all...
That's crazy.
Yeah, but that's some Hasidic.
Wait,
that's
what?
Some dark Hasidic.
They're what?
Wait, what is that?
I didn't hear about this.
So there are two types of circumcision. There's circumcision that takes place in a hospital that anybody can get. Like, my brothers weren't circumcised by a moil. Like, you got to be pretty into your... ritual to do that. There's a second type of circumcision where you have a whole, it's called a Brit Milah, and you have a whole event.
Oh, I know that thing.
And you invite all your friends.
Yeah,
you got coffee. It's like a morning event. You got balloons. It's like, woo!
Good morning, America.
And then the mom comes out with her 8-day-old child. I actually recently went to a Brit Milah in an Orthodox synagogue. Shit was
Yeah, it's wow. fucked up.
And they, like, bring the child out on this satin white pillow, processional.
Wow.
And it gets brought to the front of the synagogue. And then there's a moil. The mother's got to leave by law, by Jewish law. The mom can't watch because they're afraid she'll...
Try to save the penis.
Yes.
Absolutely.
Yes, it's
I mean,
deeply
this
Freudian.
Is what a mother
my
would do.
Penis.
Yeah.
Deeply,
I mean,
deeply
is,
Freudian. But what technically happens
she
is...
She wants that dick.
The more...
Sorry. I mean, it's true. Like, Jack, it's true,
it's
man.
Freud.
It's totally
ask
true,
right Sigmund now,
that's
Freud.
Not a joke. I'm not, like, saying
anyways,
some shit
though,
that's not true. It's
the
true.
Real, the moil, though, if you're going to have a really religious ceremony...
Right.
I'm actually not an expert on this and would rather not be touted as one.
Moils and circumcision, Rachel Leibskin. She's got a foreskin for Leibskin. I don't know.
Okay.
She's
okay,
making
okay,
leaps.
Okay.
Leibskin making leaps
yeah,
in,
making
the
leaps
foreskin.
In the
yep,
foreskin.
Yep, yep.
Rachel, Dr. Richard Leibskin, foreskin expert. So the moil technically commit like.
Yeah,
exactly.
Cuts off the penis.
The penis then gets
Yeah, what do they do with
kinda
that?
Kind of kissed, or, you know, the moil kisses. Cut. After it's cut, the moil kiss, yeah.
The most extreme version. It's not
in
always
very,
like
very
this.
Religious Hasidic
the,
communities.
The most, it, because you'll see in the New York Post, they're like, this happens all the time, and it
yeah,
doesn't.
Yeah.
But the most extreme version is that he sucks the excess blood.
That's right.
And that's how the Hep C thing happened.
Right. Oh.
So
yeah.
Because
you had
these, like,
hella religious Orthodox,
but like they're crazy religious.
That.
I'm
like,
sorry.
They're religious on
they're
top
of. They're as crazy
religious.
As fucking
yeah.
the jihadists
very
and
rare,
ISIS. They're
very
as
rare.
Crazy as those people.
Absolutely,
okay?
They should not be sucking
wait,
blood
wait,
out of penises.
Rachel, did you just say
especially
they
a baby
should not
penis.
Be doing
that?
Did I just say that they're as crazy as ISIS? Yes, I did. Yeah. It doesn't matter what religion wrong. You are.
I agree.
If you're
that's
an
true.
Orthodox Word. Psychopath, you all belong in the same fucking circle of hell. Sorry.
Yeah.
Doesn't matter if you're my faith or another faith. Fuck those. I'm sorry. Those Hasids. I just got a new studio in Bed-Stuy, right in between
I'm
the Satmar.
Bed-Stuy.
All right. I'm right in between Marcy Projects and the Satmars.
Okay.
So, like, that's an amazing view from my window. But these Satmar Hasids, and, you know, let me say, my great grandparents were Hasidic. These Satmar Hasids, they live in a fucking industrial wasteland, and they act like it's the fucking 15th century.
Yeah.
They're walking around with their fur pelts. I'm like it's 70 degrees out.
I thought it was
what
just
they believe.
Me.
Listen.
No. They're crazy. Those
there's some Hasids in my part of Bed-Stuy that run a brothel.
Full straight up. Oh,
yeah.
Of course. They deal drugs. They're
it's
crazy.
Yeah.
Crazy. They're a mafia.
Like...
I'm against them.
All the kidnapped...
I'm not against
all
crime.
All the kidnapped women...
but if they suck, then I'm against them.
Shit, I've seen two of them come out of the brothel that...
I hope you've called
right.
your local precinct.
No. I'd probably get arrested.
I was skating by...
Yeah. That's true. Let's be honest.
No
you'd
comment?
Probably get arrested. Yeah,
I enjoy skating by like Hasidic neighborhoods because people see me skating like, oh man, that guy's like on a skateboard.
Yeah, he's checking out all the Jeep
like,
Liberties.
Like,
everyone's looking at me like, yeah, that too.
Well, the saddest thing, if you guys really want a view of the wonderful equality of gender in the Hasidic religion, is on a Saturday, you should just take a lovely stroll up Bedford Avenue, which will be empty because all the men are studying in a nice, cold, cool, shady synagogue. And if you look up at the beautiful windows of the buildings on Bedford Avenue, you'll see the saddest... isolated women sitting in their houses waiting for sundown. They can't fucking turn the fan on. Right. They can't listen to the radio. They can't do anything that involves electricity, which is everything. They can't masturbate.
I was going to ask.
Oh, you
that.
Can masturbate without electricity.
Hell,
could I ask you a question?
If you're Hasidic?
Is it true that they have sex through a sheet?
I don't know about that. I did hear some crazy
shit. Bunch of weird
Here's
shit,
the thing. I don't know about sex through a sheet, but I did hear from a rabbi's wife. She told me she went to a doctor, and the doctor was like, oh, are you here for the letter? She was like, what letter? What are you talking about?
The scarlet letter.
He was like, oh, sometimes I get what? Sometimes I get, oh, I know that dude. He's like, sometimes I get these Hasidic women who come in and they need a letter from the doctor to allow them to be in the mikveh, right? The mikveh is this ritual bath you go into after your period.
Where they rape children.
And they're like, we need a letter so that we can stay in the mikveh longer to ovulate. Turns out most of these women, when they get married, have zero reproductive health knowledge. I mean, they don't even... she told me that the doctor told her about a woman who was like, yeah, I keep having sex, trying to get pregnant. I must be infertile. He did all these tests on her. He was like, no, babe, like you're totally fertile. She's like 20 years old. She's like, what's wrong? You know, he keeps putting it in this hole. She was having anal sex.
Oh, my God.
For, like, 5 years. Okay? This is what I'm saying. I mean, the level of sexual education is lower than anything we could actually even wrap our heads around because we grew up with Rotten.com. Like, we couldn't even imagine how little these people actually know about their bodies by the time they get married and have sex. It's crazy.
Well, that is tragic, and we'd like to go to some music now.
You can send us the Peabody Award to 261 Moore Street.
Sorry, guys.
Wonderful. Really and cool. We are on gunwash.com here. Getting ready for Thursday night here. Oh, boy.
There goes my appetite.
Well,
sorry,
listen,
guys.
Hey.
Yeah. Next, new topic.
Yeah, no. We'll keep,
hey, have you ever
Listen,
made
tell you what, we're going to come back from music and continue talking
Shout
about
it. Shout out
that.
To the Pope.
the lab, I jump. Jump the truth back to the lab, I jump. Jump the truth back to the lab, I jump. Jump the truth back to the lab, I jump. Jump the truth back to the lab, I jump. Jump the truth back to the lab, I jump. Jump the truth back to the lab, I jump. Jump the truth back to the lab, I jump. Jump the truth.
One of my favorite Space Disease songs right here. Customer number 363 looking for the bathroom coming in the radio station.
Wow, yeah, still always. With that thing, man. Yeah,
one day someone's going to pee on this computer, I know it.
Well, don't allow that.
That's a performance piece that I'm working on, Rachel.
Yeah.
I love it.
Rachel.
Let me be in it.
That would be amazing if you can... I was thinking of peeing on a laptop, but if Rachel could pee on a laptop for me and you can now give you
down.
A gallon and gallon and gallons of water
and
you can pee on it for like 10 hours, that would be amazing.
Warhol.
And if you did it at my birthday, that would be amazing too.
That's fine. For the birthday, I charge double.
That's fine.
But peeing, like you'll actually piss? Or pee, excuse me?
Excuse me.
And speaking of peeing, I think that's a great segue to go to the Mondo segment.
Yeah, well, maybe if Nat would shut the fuck up.
Well, we have like 3 minutes, don't we?
Oh, Nat.
Boy, Mondo. Is it getting around?
Mondo.
Is it all skilled out?
Woo, yeah.
Does it come in packs?
Mondo.
Is it mental?
Fundamental.
Mondo, Mondo.
Hey, Rachel, what do you think of this theme song?
Love it.
It's not like your theme
song like
that
your
you sang
cat
earlier.
I'm into it, though. Did you commission that? Did a composer write that for you?
You know what? Somewhat
yes.
in my life.
Short answer, yes.
Short answer, yes. I'm into it. Yeah, jealous.
Yes.
Jealous.
Don't be. I was not as jealous as me earlier when I first saw you taking pictures of Aaron.
Oh, shit.
But with pictures, and I say, you know, with censorship and all, I was wondering about that because, you know, I was reading an article you had. No, that is not your article, but it mentioned a lot about censorship. And I wanted to know a little bit more about that because sometimes I'm a little afraid to post certain pictures that's my conflict nowadays. If I want to post something on the internet, I'm afraid to put it up because it has something that it could be a nipple or it could be blood or it could be, you know, something that it's about drugs, but not really. It could be like a clip of a blunt that was finished from like 2 weeks
ago.
And
you're like, oh shit.
And I want to show my friends and giggle about it, but I want to
see that clip.
Giggling is important.
Millennial dilemma.
Yeah, that's my millennial dilemma.
That's okay. We all have those. I think censorship is very dangerous. I'm against all censorship.
Me too.
I recently had a conversation with a very illustrious young woman who works at Instagram, and we got into a big argument about the nipple thing.
Did you push her?
No, she was like, so what's your deal with free the nipple? Like, I always see you Instagramming. Like,
ban the bra.
And I'm like, yeah, I think it's stupid that boys can have their nipples on Instagram and I can't. And she was like, you don't understand. According to like the App Store rules, if we allow nipples on Instagram, we have to rate Instagram as a 18+ app.
Oh, she's just not educated. Listen, that woman is.
And I was like, well, fuck that. Then Instagram should be an 18+ app, right?
I agree.
I found out about
Instagram like when I was over 18.
Same.
So.
Okay. The argument that woman has is absolutely ridiculous. It's based on something that was made by people who started an app. Forget about that.
Forget about the
Don't
apps.
You understand that women's nipples are construed as sexy and men's are not?
Yeah, because milk comes out of women's nipples.
Absolutely.
And feeds little sexually made babies.
Yeah.
So the nipple, every man looks at a nipple and they're like, oh, my mom's dead.
Yeah.
That's why they're so dangerous, right, guys? Right?
I mean, I'm just kidding.
What if your mom was flat-chested?
I'm just kidding.
Still sucking milk out that thing.
No, man. it's just the general... I mean, the nipple censorship is just par for the course in the kind of mainstream oppression of the female gender. But that's, you know, we all know about that.
Yeah, but you... Okay.
Even with some of your art, though, like, I'm looking at this article and it's telling me, like... Well, what I'm learning from the article is that is even with some of your art.
Yeah, I mean, the reason that I got on this whole Instagram kick is that I put up this photo, this painting from Picasso's Blue Period that is a fucking great painting, beautiful painting, of a woman, and it's sort of this weird angle of her body structure, a woman going down on a man. It's beautiful Picasso painting, all right? And in the painting, you can kind of see sort of like the side of her breast, like there's a little winged tip, like you're like, oh, that's nipple,
love that
okay? And Instagram took it down, okay? Instagram...
Right.
Fucking little searchers
decided that
Picasso is 18+.
Yeah,
it needs to be censored. And I was enraged. So I started posting as muddy nipples as I could find in Renaissance art.
Well, that's weird because there's this segment of Instagram I discovered through one of my friends. I don't know what to call it, like Trapgram. I don't know.
I like
but
that sound.
It's porno on Instagram.
Word.
It's,
how you get that?
Right, it's beyond the nipple.
Right. But the thing that's crazy is that it's literally just the nipple. Although I do have to say, Instagram has now loosened its iron fist grip on the nipple, and now you can technically post if it's considered quote art. Then it's allowed.
Wow.
But I still think that's so stupid.
That is
like,
stupid.
What is that line?
It's too subjective. Secret Instagram accounts, like with other people, and we have like weird shit that shouldn't get on there.
There's
a
segment
absolutely.
Of Instagram I don't think Instagram knows exists.
Probably not.
I've seen full
some
on
weird private
sex.
Shit. Yeah, there are some porn stars you can follow who are private who post some crazy shit.
I mean, you can follow the porn stars.
To be fair, though, that delineation isn't Instagram's fault. It's some weird.
It's the what is it? FCC. FCC?
It's well, it's FCC, but it's not even the FCC's fault. It's, you know, hundreds of years of strange societal
march towards bizarre. What that woman is saying to Rachel is just her not thinking.
Well, she's speaking to the parameters of her business. She's not really speaking on.
She was saying, like, from a perspective of being on in the business,
right?
That like they'll make less money,
right.
If they're an 18+ app, because then
just like people, movies,
right? Okay. But it's still the dumb. It's like so.
It's stupid.
So Instagram, you can loosen. You can make less than the fucking what is it? $28 billion.
But that's gonna go away. Like the other day, I was watching a show with Emily called what is it? Naked and Afraid.
Love that show.
Right, so they were mad butts on that show. And I don't watch TV. That was the first time I'd seen
a butt.
That show was like 10 p.m. in post.
But still, I was like, oh, there's mad butts on this
show. There's a lot of butts,
but
yeah.
No nipples.
Is it that No nipples. But I'm saying that would have been unthinkable 30 years ago.
Yeah. Or even 10 years ago.
It's a march towards nudity. It's a march towards progress.
I think I'm desensitized because Germans love nudity. I mean, Germans are freaks.
Yeah,
like, I used to walk... I mean, like... I lived in a gay neighborhood growing up, like the gay neighborhood of like German S&M, like bear oh, gays, God, like yeah. strips and chains. No,
yeah.
actually, my mom chose the neighborhood because she was like, oh, nobody's gonna care about my little daughter.
That's true.
She was right.
Smart.
But I once left my keys at school and I walked into a bar at like 2 p.m. and there were just dudes naked.
Okay.
No doubt. And I was like, what? You walk down the street, there's like Nivea ads of just like fully naked women. So like, I think I was just desensitized in a society where like sexuality wasn't necessarily nudity.
Yeah, but don't you feel sexy when you're showing off your nipple to, I mean.
Not necessarily.
I don't find nipples.
I get weird.
Nipples are weird.
How do you feel about wet t-shirt content?
I have a nipple so that I can feed my unborn child milk that's made in my milk duct. Yeah. I mean, that shit's weird. I'm not going to lie. It's weird.
Okay, but then why push for the allowance of your
because my nipple is no less weird than my knuckle or my fucking front toe.
Yeah, no, but see, no, the difference no, is no. I have really I'm a big nipples. I have like really big nipples, and so
are you
unilateral gynecomastia.
I'm both insecure and just thrilled.
So, would you rather see more female nipples or less?
I like to call on line six.
Call on line six.
Boom.
Yo, caller.
Are they calling?
What's your name and where are you calling from?
Hello.
From New York City.
What's up, brother?
Hey.
What up?
Hey, honey. Your voice sounds hot. Who are you?
Who am I?
Yeah, you sound so hot.
Oh my God! Really?
Yeah, like.
Wait, am I on the air? Or am I like directed to?
Yeah, no, you're on the
before?
Air, babe.
Clearly,
you're on the air,
dude. Come on.
You're on the nipple hotline.
Oh shit! Oh,
you're on the nipple hotline.
Hey, everybody. How's it going? It's Matt Shukar.
Yeah.
What's up, brother? Hello, Matt.
Yo, Rachel, I knew you were going to talk about foreskins, but I didn't know you'd talk about them like that.
What, yeah. Did it turn you on a little bit?
That was awesome.
Yeah, what up?
Yeah, on the flat one.
The sucking the blood part was
did you like that,
right?
Yeah, it's hot. It's
invigorating.
It was kind of loud.
Well, Matt, what do you have to say to our Gun Wash listeners and, of course, our guest, Rachel Liebskin?
I have to say that, as usual, Rachel has proven to be a vast knowledge across the board on any topic that we really bring and throw her.
Love you.
Definitely.
I love you, Matt.
It's true, Matt.
I love you too, babe.
Matt and I made a really censored video a couple of years ago that was a fun video that Matt made and directed and starred in called Pussy Breath. And it was a joke. Am I right in saying it was sort of a satirical rap video?
Oh, yeah, I remember this guy.
I think it was called that a couple times.
A satirical rap video, and he had all his like, you know, hot what age were we? Like twenty year old friends dancing in it.
Yeah.
It was fun. We went to Vegas. We shot this video. It was super fun. Put it on the internet. It was tight. Like everyone loved it. Next thing I know, I've got fucking. This most misogynist, craziest articles being written, like, this is what Harvard girls do who are the kids of well-known people. It was so fucking disgusting. The way people addressed Matt and my fucking beautiful art. Well, more Matt. I just was like a whorish dancer in it. But one of these days, you guys should really play that song on the radio. It's a great song.
Hey, listen, there's nothing, in my personal opinion, Rachel and Matthew, there's nothing wrong with the general public having objections to your creations. In fact, it makes it more interesting. If
that's true.
Me.
We got more hits.
And, I can't think of
any artist that I like who hasn't dealt with that themselves. So,
I was going to ask Rachel if she ever uses Vine because there's a lot of nipples on that.
Yeah. No, well, Matt, who's on the air as our guest caller. Is a Vine star.
Oh, yeah.
He's a
Viner.
Oh, we know.
Sometimes I use Vine.
Nat Viner.
I don't know. Like, I get into it sometimes and I fall off. It's a social media, it's a full-time job.
It is.
Would you not agree?
That's why I'm bad at it.
I'm okay at it, I think.
I fail. I'm always ashamed.
I'm into it.
Sometimes I'm ashamed to have social media accounts because I'm like so like.
I just like the challenge how they say, oh, you can only use 140 characters.
Right.
And then that's it.
Yeah, that's an interesting challenge.
Why not, right? Like I said, I have a minimal amount of worries.
But on the topic of censorship and something that I saw recently you were ranting about, which I love on your Twitter, at VonSpawn, you're talking about trigger warnings and the terror that they pose
don't
to academic subjects and just fucking history
okay.
in
get
general.
Started.
Okay.
Get started.
Let's hear a little rant.
Okay.
Yell at him.
Yeah, What up?
What is a trigger
warning? We are here
about
to talk about trigger warnings. Okay, so a trigger warning. Let me preface this by saying...
You guys talking about trigger warnings is triggering me.
Okay, no, let me preface the discussion on trigger warnings by saying people who have suffered rape or actual PTSD, it's all good. Like, I'm not against... I believe that they should have a trigger warning. My issue is less with the existence of the trigger warning and more with the phrase trigger warning. Because what it does is... Trigger warnings are often found in articles about sexism, racism, rape, bigotry, those beautiful topics. And it says at the beginning of the article, you know, if this is a topic that upsets you, this is a trigger warning, don't read it. Because there are lots of people who are our age who consume media on the internet who are emotionally inundated with the ugliness of the world, and having traumatic experiences often sets them off again to read these articles. Okay. Whatever. I have no problem with those people. I feel bad for them. I don't pity them, but I have sympathy and empathy for those people. But my problem with the trigger warning is that it implies, who are the trigger warnings really for? It's for women, for people of color, and for LGBT. The word trigger, what does it remind you of? It makes you think of someone who's about to burst into tears and like shaking, like they're, don't trigger them, like they might burst. And it's like... kind of, but it's like the trigger warning. Yeah, like it makes you see, like, yeah, it's like also like all the stereotypes that white dudes have about people of color, women, and queer people. It's like, don't offend them, they might burst, they might not be able to deal with what you have to say. Fuck that. If you want to say a trigger warning, first of all, let's rebrand it as content warning, or like a notice on the content of this article. Fucking let's get annihilate the word trigger, because I find it really offensive personally.
Yeah, we did one of those on the top of the show tonight. I was like,
well, I know that's a disclaimer.
The disclaimer. I'm okay with the disclaimer. Look, you listen to NPR.
Bad language is different.
I listen to NPR all the time. They're like, this is a story. This is this next segment we're about to do. You know, deals with violence. If you have an issue with violence or a child in the room, turn the radio volume down. Fine, no problem with that. I'm all about that.
And that's an old
that's an old thing.
Era.
Yeah, of course. Yes.
But my, well, to play devil's advocate.
It's all good. Let's hear it.
I never even heard trigger warning before.
The idea of the trigger warning, even that verbatim, that phrase, comes from Tumblr activists or whatever.
Yeah, Tumblr activists. Tumblr, yeah.
In the very niche communities that you mentioned.
Yeah, they're just protecting themselves from wackos.
They're not mostly coming from,
the
like...
The thing, though, that has happened with that, though, is that niche... kind of sub-community on the internet.
Sub-sub
often. Though that term has been threaded out of there and is now being widely disseminated on it, on articles all over the fucking internet by every major media
source. And you're right, but let's say you're Salon.com, your New York Times online, whatever. The only reason you're using it is you don't want to upset the Tumblr sphere or whatever.
But that's also, I mean, I'm anti-political correctness.
So am I.
Political correctness is the reason that
we
don't talk about the reality of this country.
I agree with you 110%, but the catalyst is not a left-wing blog like Salon.com, which I read. It's not the New York Times. It's not the Washington Post, which I've been reading more lately because it's been getting better since Bezos bought it.
Yes.
I'm saying the catalyst are ultimately these niche groups. And that's kind of a weird paradox, right?
Yeah, it's a weird thing. I mean, my issue is more that term has been adopted. I mean, as Mega said, it's condescending.
Content
warning is much better. I'm offended. I'm offended, though, when I read trigger warning. This is an article about violence against women. I'm like, yeah, welcome to my fucking world. I'm a woman. And guess what? I'm going to get shit on by men. And you know what? Reading another article about another woman being murdered or abused or whatever fucked up shit happened to her isn't going to set me over the edge, because I'm a live human being in this world. And I'm fully aware of what comes along with my identity. And to me, the notion of a trigger warning preempts the idea that you can't handle it. And you know what? There are people out there who shouldn't read certain things because it will the word trigger is applicable to them because they suffer from PTSD or whatever.
It's not absurd.
It's not absurd. It's not out of the what set me off on this whole tangent to begin with was that there was an article in the Washington Post about a class at Columbia that was teaching Greek mythology. And within Columbia, there was a young woman in the class who had experienced rape and was reading Zeus's rape of one of the nymphs in this book, this compendium of
Zeus
Greek
raped
myths.
A lot.
Zeus raped basically every bitch he
Zeus
ever knew.
Zeus rapes.
Yeah.
Zeus's number one branding, fucking brand ascot is rape. Rape.com.
Zeus is doing the raping.
Yeah, want to find Zeus's website? Go to rape.com. 1-800-RAPE.com.
That's
anyways.
An official advertisement done here.
He's the host at the rape party.
No, but basically this young woman was very upset and found herself to be very disengaged with the academic material, went to her professor and said, I am triggered by this material. And the professor was like,
yeah,
okay.
It was written like 5,000 years
ago. The professor was like, okay. I mean, what the fuck is this? Frankly, I agree with the professor. Like, what do you do if you're a teacher and your student's like, that upsets me?
It's like, fine,
and
don't be educated.
So my devil's advocate point for that is like, what if you're teaching a class of students in Tennessee on slavery? Mm-hmm. And a white kid goes, yeah, you know, that triggers me. It upsets me. I don't want to learn about it. Or is the teacher supposed to be like, okay, you can leave. You don't need to know the history.
Good point.
That's what I'm saying. It gives license to people to just opt out of education that I find really dangerous. It's the same thing as censorship.
I feel like you're making the point I'm making.
No, we're making the same point.
Oh, okay. But you said devil's advocate, so I
Well, no, I was saying
hey,
the devil's...
Rachel.
I love ending on a note of agreement and concert and harmony.
On a positive, funny note, the only time I say the word trigger is when I say the word nigga, but I have mad cake in my mouth.
Hey, there we go. All right. Very, very nice. Thank you, Armando, for that.
Thanks, Armando.
It's a good joke, Mondo. I like that.
That was a good one.
Well, listen, Rachel, you know, you've, of course, spread a... vast amount of knowledge to our listeners.
Can this just be part one?
Audience.
Can we get
yes,
back
we
in
should
here
have
sometime,
a
Rachel?
We should have another visit
anytime, guys. Next Beautiful. Time I'll be peeing on the laptop.
Yeah, please.
Or yes, for me. I'm That's, serious.
So
yeah.
You heard it. We will do the
piece.
Live peeing on the
laptop.
Next laptop, time,
though,
Rachel.
Not,
is
thanks for having me on, guys.
Here, no, and you know we should.
You're
do,
not leaving yet.
Well, we're almost there, but we got to do drops. Important.
Very.
Rectex here and Mega.
This is the original Nozzle crew, which is like,
oh, yes.
making me so
yeah.
excited, you know?
Have you heard about Michael Tessarion's like, comeback?
Oh, he's back.
Oh,
he got
really?
The ponytail again.
Don't call it a comeback.
Oh, wow. I won't. Oh, wow. Well, Rachel, where can we find some of your work and some of the new stuff you're working on now?
Where can we find Marvelous Millie? Because I can't find it.
You got to email the people at the BBC archives. Right. They'll send it to you for free. I did it a couple times.
Excellent.
They've got me on their hit list.
I'll play it for you next time you come on.
I love
Great.
It.
Great.
If my listeners in the New York area, if you're around the last week of October, October 21st, 22nd, 23rd, I will be having a very interesting multi-channel video installation at Pioneer Works as a part of a premiere opera called American Gothic, which is an opera, four stanza in opera by four different composers, all dealing with the issue of America and Americana and American Gothic.
I love Americana.
Can I get tickets?
Me too. Oh, yeah, you can get tickets. You can get tickets... www.americangothic.com. That's definitely not the website.
Be,
I lied.
You should become a scalper.
Yeah, I'll scalp the tickets to you for an extra.
Well, is there a way they can get in touch with you? Perhaps
yes.
You're at
Hit me up
Von
at
Spawn.
Von Spawn. V O N S P A W N.
Like
or my website. Phone. Just Google me. If you want to see the pussy breath video, Google me. It's on the first page of my Google search.
That's what's your personal website called?
www.rachelliebeskind.ass.com. No, I'm just kidding. It's just my name.com.
Yeah, mine too.
It's rachel.com.
No, yeah. It's Rachel Liebeskind.
I don't know
that would have been sick.
I don't often come across
rachel.
People of similar like tastes that have just their first name, last name.com. I feel like we're brethren in that sense.
Yeah.
Sister.
Yeah,
it's
yeah,
great.
Rachelliebeskind.com. Or you can go to my blog, mouthwithoutatongue.com.
All right.
Ooh.
Very nice. And
eyes without a face.
See, you're mouth fucking up literature. She went to Harvard, man. Don't even try.
That's the Billy Idol.
And
what up?
Dead air.
Let's say
Drops.
Something to the audience. For example, Rachel, anything that you'd like.
Anything at all?
Yeah. And usually, what we do is you say something, and then you end it with, "And you're listening to Gunwash."
Okay.
Example?
That's like, you know, a
guys,
typical drop.
Can we have an example, Aaron?
Yeah, can we have an example?
Mega sure.
Can
example. Mega can give a great example.
You know what a drop is.
Yeah, you know what a drop is.
Oh, yeah. I don't have one in me, though.
I got one.
All right.
Hi,
Armando's.
My name is Rachel. I am not circumcised, and I'm listening to Gunwash.
Beautiful.
Yeah,
and it would be something
good.
Like that, and if you'd like to take
okay.
it away, you
my
can
name
certainly.
Is Rachel. We're in fall. It's getting cold outside, and you're listening to Gunwash Radio. Not bad.
Beautiful. Give me one more.
Yeah, give
me
one more.
Okay, what do you want?
Somebody was talking over you.
Come on,
all.
Baby.
Okay, my name is Rachel. I believe nipples should be uncensored, and you're listening to Gunwash Radio, not Gunwash.com, sorry. I fucked it up. I fucked
you should
it
say
up.
Gunwash.
That was a great drop. That was a great drop. Well. Get in that pussy,
rest that can't be cleaned.
Oh, I remember this one.
That's it.
Yeah. Very nice, very nice. Well, we are back strong in a full season of Gunwash. This is episode 168. And I don't know exactly what is in store.
I went to
the
Heritage site and I looked up Gunwash and last week's episode was episode 3000.
Of all the Heritage shows?
Yeah.
Very nice. Well, thank you, of course, for tuning in to Gunwash. Rachel Liebskin was here, and she's, what can I say, spreading knowledge widely. Thank you, of course, Mega, for joining us, and the one Rec Tech, the Rec Technician, who doesn't often come but is in the flesh tonight. And
I can imagine her in a paint suit.
That's next time she's going to pee on a laptop and paint herself.
Yeah.
All right.
Love you guys.
And we will see you next week on Gunwash Rec Tech. If you'd like to play music, you certainly can do so now. 718-497-2128 for late call-ins. I love you all, and see you soon, baby.
Person is, you know, killing people, Would you be a snitch if you called police and told them?
If I knew the serial killer was living next door to me?
Yeah.
No, I wouldn't call and tell anybody on them, but I'd probably move. 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 Move.
Snitch.